Welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Penny Mulvey. Do you read the comic strips in your local newspaper? I do, avidly. Two in my daily paper provide either a regular chuckle or a sigh as they hit the nail on the head. They are poignant and relevant. Now, I know it's not easy translating a comic strip into radio, but I'm giving it a go because today's comic captured this week's theme of letting go. This is from the For Better or For Worse comic strip. Now, I want you to picture this. Two middle-aged women chatting over a cup of tea in the kitchen. The mother has just farewelled her 21-year-old daughter again as she has returned to her new home up north. This mother, named Ellie, says to her friend, "But that's what it's all about, isn't it? You prepare your kids for life on their own, and if it means you'll be separated by long distances, you deal with it." Her friend, "And?" Ellie, "It's a big deal." Letting go is a big deal, no matter of what we are letting go. We start when we're very little, the breastfed baby letting go of the mother's breast, the toddler letting go of the dummy or the blanket or the bottle, the only child letting go of mum and dad's undivided attention when the new baby comes along. I can remember the pain of letting go of my middle child as I left him at kinder. He did not want me to go. He would cling and cry and I would literally have to peel him off, walk out of his sight and collapse in a heap. It took him a long time to deal with letting go, and when he is feeling vulnerable, he still struggles. Of course, letting go goes beyond the family environment. What about letting go of friends whom we meet when we're travelling abroad? Letting go of committees or tasks because we have too much on our plate? Letting go of something we do well to make way for a younger or newer person? Letting go of dying relatives or friends and allowing them to die and be relieved of their suffering? The more you think about it, the more the ideas come. A number of regular Women of Hope correspondents have reflected on significant moments in their own lives when they were forced to let go. Perhaps their thoughts will strike a chord with you. And maybe if you feel so inspired, you might send me your own thoughts on letting go. Let's go first to Corrine Whelan reflecting on her daughter growing up and starting school.
"As I hold you close to my heart, my precious newborn girl, the pain of your birth passes. I hear your first cry, see your first tear. We share your first feed. I look at your perfect little face, count your perfect little fingers and toes, and smell the perfect smell of a precious newborn child. I've carried you close to my heart for nearly 9 months, feeling your kicks, pushes and rolls, dreaming of what you will look like and what life will be like for us in the days, weeks, months and years ahead. 5 years later, you are standing near the letterbox, dressed from head to toe in your brand new uniform. You eagerly await the beginning of your first day of school. Together, we have said goodbye to nappies, dummies, bottles, nighttime feeds. I've watched you learn to roll over, get up on your hands and knees to crawl, and take those first steps. Together, we said goodbye to babyhood as you ran into toddlerhood with little arms stretched out wide. Now we say goodbye to the kindergarten years and many of the friendships you have made as you begin school. You will make new friends, you will learn new routines, you will face new challenges. As you grow, you will need me less and less. Just as I let you go on your first day of kinder, your first day of school, and your first sleepover, there will be more times in our lives where as you step forward, I step back. But there is one thing I cling to. As you step forward and embrace what life has to offer you, you don't step forward alone. For with you, as you choose, your Heavenly Father will step with you, holding you, supporting you, guiding you far better than I ever could do."
Of course, before you know it, those gorgeous little wide-eyed innocents are answering you back, grunting at you, and as Jan Laddams reports, getting their license.
"I knew the day would come when he'd ask me if he could learn how to drive. It happened when he was nearly 17. In our town, there isn't a driving school, so me and my husband had to teach him how to behave behind the wheel of a machine that could potentially kill you and others. I taught the basics. My husband, who was a pursuit car driver in the police force, taught the finer points. I was able to stall the dreaded day of the first driving lesson by telling my son he had to have his learner's permit before he was allowed to get behind the wheel. My son was keen. A week later, I took him for his first driving lesson. We went to our local national park. The speed limit is 40 kilometres per hour, the road is only 1 kilometre long, and another car rarely comes in the opposite direction. I know I wasn't the most calm teacher in the whole world, and eventually I got over the white knuckle stage in the national park to graduate to driving on the quiet open roads of the Kimberley in northwest WA, where unexpected obstacles such as bulls, horses and kangaroos can jump out at you when you least expect them. We tackled the more intricate aspects of driving when we drove around the town of Kununurra. Mind you, we don't have any traffic lights and PCAR is declared if there are more than three cars following each other. The day of the driver's licence test came, my son took my car for a spin with the local constabulary and came back with a sad look on his face. He hadn't passed. There were still a few more things he needed to learn. I was relieved. I knew he would be safe for a little while longer before he took to the wide world in a metal box. Without going into the rest of the details, my son eventually got his driver's license, and I'm still in the process of letting go. I'm wondering whether I'll ever get through this final stage of watching the clock and counting down the minutes while he drives to town to get me a few items of shopping. The process of letting go also involves allowing God to have total control of my life. When I do things in my own strength and in my own will, they never turn out as well as when I do them in God's strength and in His will. Often I turn an aspect of my life over to God with one breath, and with what almost seems like the next, I take it back again. This struggle may go on for minutes, hours or days, but eventually I get enlightened and I genuinely hand over the issue to my Heavenly Father, and the peace that floods my heart makes it all worth it. Really letting go is a process which leads to real peace. That peace is a wonderful prize that also includes character growth for everyone concerned.
One of the things I'm struggling to let go of at the moment is my rapidly growing adolescent son. He has a girlfriend. He is well and truly flapping those wings. He's in his final year of school, but does not want us to comment on his study habits. There is a constant call for trust and surrender. Sometimes it almost physically hurts as I watch him draw away. This stage of childhood development seems the most confronting and difficult from a parental perspective. I must let go, but I'm not ready yet.
Hold them lightly, not tightly. That's what they say. But it's not always easy, is it? I recall the first time I tried to let go of my first baby at 5 months old. A friend offered to take care of him while my husband took me to dinner for my birthday. I was sure my friend wouldn't know what my baby needed, so I explained everything in minute detail. Finally, I'm sure in exasperation, she pushed me out the door, assuring me he'd be fine. If you're a parent, I'm sure you can recall, as I can, with each of our children, the times when we found it hard to let go. To the care of teachers at school, to friends for a sleepover, and then through those infamous teenage years with their growing independence and desire to be in control of their own lives. And for those whose children are married, you know the feeling of handing over your child at their wedding, and if it's a daughter saying, "I do," when asked who's giving her away. That's a real lump in your throat experience. When it came to the empty nest syndrome, our children didn't leave home, we did. It was one of the hardest things I ever did. The mind plays nasty tricks from thousands of kilometres away, and I began to think of all the things I hadn't done or had done wrong, and now it was too late. Why is letting go so hard? Perhaps it's because we think we know what's best for them. And I suppose in a way we do. But there's one who knows them much better than we do. Finally, after 6 months, I gave the whole situation to God with a sigh, saying, "I can't go on like this." And I let him have each of them back, so he could take care of anything I'd messed up or I'd left undone. I believe my faith in God has really helped me in this difficult letting go process. Before each of our children was born, we began to pray for them. And over the years, God's been teaching me to trust Him with their lives and leave them in His hands. After all, He created them, and He loves them more than I ever could.
but there are still times I've found it hard not to hold on too tightly. When they seem to be having some difficulty in their marriage, when they struggle with a problem with their own child, how much do I say and how much do I just keep quiet? And instead pray for God to teach them as He taught me. These are the times when I'm so grateful for my faith in God, because the more I trust Him to take care of them, the better I am at letting go. I'm Ros Atkinson.
What's coming to your mind? Write down your struggles on letting go and email them to me, womenofhope@cwciaus.org.au. That's Women of Hope, all one word, at cwciaus.org.au. Back shortly.